This is what missions is all about. It's a work of multiplication. I love missions, not because I'm a missionary, but because I'm the result of missions. My pastor went to Brazil when I was not even born yet, but I was already a part of God's plan for his ministry. And when I was only 12 years of age, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ through his ministry. Grew up in his church, and I'm here today as a missionary. So I love missions because everything I am and everything I have, I owe to missions. It is good to see Nathan here as well. He's another missionary to Brazil. Amen. So if I have any hard time speaking English, Nathan can come here and translate for me. Okay, I'll speak in Portuguese and you translate into English. I want to preach tonight on the miracle of multiplication. How many of you believe in miracles? Amen. So open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. And we are going to read only verses 13 and 14 for the time being. But I want to speak to you about the miracle of multiplication. As soon as you find your passage, would you please stand up? And we are going to read these two verses, 13 and 14. Pastor, the other day someone saw your picture and made the comment that you and I look alike. You know, I like that. And then tonight when I came into the church and I saw you here behind the pulpit, I think it has to do with the hair and the glasses. So I feel honored when people say that we look alike. Very good. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. You may be seated. Thank you so much. You know the story behind this passage? With only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, Jesus was able to feed more than 15,000 people. Now we need to keep in mind that this miracle here happened after the death of John the Baptist. So Jesus, as a human being, was very sad within himself. But at the same time, he was able to look around and see the needs of other people. Perhaps he was in the desert trying to rest. Perhaps he was trying to find a place to pray. But thousands of people followed him from a great distance. And rather than thinking about himself, his own needs, Jesus noticed their sacrifice, and the Bible says that he had great compassion for them. He not only satisfied their hunger, but the Bible says that at the end of the day, there were 12 basketfuls left over. So as we can see, Jesus went beyond their necessities because they had gone out of their way to see the Lord Jesus Christ. As we can notice, the secret to miracles is always to look beyond our own feelings and needs. If we want to see miracles happening in our lives and in our ministries, we need to look beyond our needs and look at the needs of others. If Jesus had stayed on the mountain to mourn the death of his close friend, John the Baptist, or just to flee from his enemies, there would have been no miracles, no love, and no compassion. But Jesus was able to overcome his own problems and to take care of the problems of others. That's why I think verse 14 is the most important verse in this passage. It is the key to this passage. It says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them." As a missionary, I can say that we still need the miracle of multiplication today. Not of bread, not of fish, but of salvation of souls. Amen. Our churches here in the States, there in Brazil, depend on getting people saved in order to fulfill the great commission of Jesus. Yes, we can have Christian schools, we can have camp, we can have many, many other ministries, but the main target is to lead people to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and see them getting saved. We must work, but knowing that only God can give the increase. Only God can increase the church, can increase the ministry, but we must do our part. So through this passage, what is necessary for the growth of the ministry? I want to grow the ministry. I believe you want to grow your ministry. But what is necessary for that? First of all, it is necessary to have compassion for people. Here is my question. Do you love people? Do you love human beings? Once I heard a pastor's wife saying that she would prefer to work with dogs rather than working with people. But I answered her, I'm sorry, my sister, but Jesus did not die for dogs. Jesus died for people. So we must love people. Now, people are complicated. People are difficult. Perhaps the hardest job in the world is to deal with people. And yet, this is the most important element in the ministry if we want to see God blessing us, having compassion for people. Now, this word compassion is a strong one. The writers of the Bible, they believed that our internal organs were the throne of grace and mercy within each one of us, because compassion is a feeling from the inside out. From the inside out, it is a feeling that will make us do something about it. It will make us move on, and it will lead us to action, just like happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. When he saw the needs of those people, he felt something happening inside himself, and his compassion moved him to help those people. And this is what compassion is all about. Be moved to do something to help someone or some kind of situation. Now, why did Jesus feel compelled to help those people? First of all, because he saw their physical needs. The Bible says that he healed their sick. So there were very sick people among the multitude. They need not depart, Jesus said, give them to eat. Now, did you know that all human beings possess the same kinds of needs? Now, we have different cultures. We know the Brazilian culture. We know the American culture. I tell my wife and I tell my daughters, when I am in the States, I want to be as American as possible. I want to be just like any other American. If I could only fix my accent. But I want to be just like you when I'm here. And I want to be a Brazilian when I'm there. Because cultures, they differ. But the needs are always the same. Physical needs, material needs, emotional needs. We have the same needs. People, they are born in need. And they live in need. And they will die in need. So Jesus saw their physical needs among the multitude, sick and hungry. Now the disciples, they saw that too. But they acted as if the problem was not of their concern. But Jesus did not hide himself. And he said to his disciples, give them to eat. Now, the disciples' solution was our solution, a human solution. Jesus, nobody told them to come here. Nobody invited them to be here. They came because they wanted to come. Send them home. Send them away. They are not our problem. But Jesus did not agree with them. The disciples did not care about the children, women, and elderly people. But Jesus did. He also saw their spiritual needs. He felt compassion, not only because they were sick or because they were hungry, but especially because they were lost in their sins. When we read Mark 6, verse 34, and Jesus was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. So Jesus' physical help was only a tool that he was using to reach their souls and to save them from their sins. And Jesus offered himself to become their shepherd. In other words, yes, we can offer people the daily bread they need to eat, they need to be fed, but only if we are going to offer them as well the bread of life. If we are going to give them something else besides the material or the physical food. And Jesus was looking forward to becoming their savior, to become their shepherd, to become their very best friend. That's why Jesus was actually performing social works, because he was trying to reach their souls, their salvation. Jesus saw the multitude. They were hungry, but he also noticed they were without a shepherd. Compassion for people is essential if we want to see our ministry grow. Anytime a person comes inside the church, they might notice the beauty of the building. They might notice the powerful preaching of the pastor. They might notice the beautiful singing of the choir. But you know, the first impression that they feel when they come inside the church is the love of the church. It's the care that the church has for them. That's why compassion is so important if we want to see the ministry grow. Love people, care for people, because this is not only necessary for the growth of the church, but it is the second greatest commandment. Amen. It is the second greatest commandment, to love people. It is hard to love some kind of people, I know, but if Jesus loved them, we can love them as well. We can hate sin, but we must always love sinners. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Second of all, it is necessary to have confidence, but not on ourselves. Confidence in the power of God. As soon as Jesus noticed the problem, he told his disciples what to do. He said, "Give them to eat." But there was no food. There was no money. Now, if Jesus had told me to feed about 15,000 people with only 5 loaves of bread, I would have crumbled the bread into 15,000 tiny pieces. This is the only human solution, isn't it? But Philip did a math problem, and he answered Jesus, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient. In other words, what you're asking is impossible. Can you see there was a lack of faith and confidence in the commandment Jesus gave? Give them to eat. We need to have confidence, but not on ourselves. Now, I believe in education. I have gone to college. I'm still in college. And a lot of us here have gone to college, and we have received special tools that we can use today in the ministry. They are important, but we don't trust in our education to accomplish the work of God. God has given us, each one of us, special gifts. Yes, we have gifts. I have my gifts, you have your gifts, but we don't trust them to help us to accomplish the work of God. The work of God is done by God. The work of God is God's. And only God can enable us to accomplish His work. So we put our confidence in God, not on ourselves. When we first moved to the Midwest of Brazil, just the 3 of us back then, my wife, my baby daughter, and I, We were there by ourselves. We arrived in November, and we spent our first Christmas alone. No friends, no family members, because nobody knew us in that city. We were new in a city of 1,200,000 people, spending Christmas alone. And my wife, with tears coming down her face, came to me that night, and she said, "What are we doing here? Nobody's happy. We just arrived. Nobody feels a need for us." But you know, with great confidence in the power of God, I answered my wife, "I am sure that the Lord has called us to the Midwest of Brazil. And I'm sure that your feelings of loneliness will soon be just a memory." Next Christmas, 1 year later, we had 25 new converts in our house celebrating Christmas with us. That's only God. That's only God. He gives the increase. But we must go to the battlefield believing in His power, believing in the power of His Word. His Word will never come back void. We must give His Word, because His Word will bear fruits. God is more than willing to bless our ministries, but the increase is the result of compassion. Do you love people? Can people say that you are a loving person? And do you have confidence in the promises that God has made and has given us in His Word? Third of all, it is necessary to have cooperation. Cooperation. In this passage, we read, "And they say unto him, We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, we know that God created the world out of nothing. But when it comes to missions, when it comes to the Great Commission Jesus gave us, God likes to use what little we have and multiplies it. Amen. And multiplies it. You saw tonight what your offerings and your prayers have done for us in the last 19 years. That's called multiplication. In John 6:9, says that a boy gave the little food he had to help Jesus. He did not know what Jesus was going to do with his meal, but he was willing to help anyway. First of all, that boy was willing to sacrifice. I believe that that was the only food he had for the day, for the week. But he was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to surrender his whole meal to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible doesn't tell us his age, but we believe he was between 12 and 15. And that was all the food he had to eat, yet he was willing to give it to Jesus. Now, how about the rich and the religious people that were among the multitude? Nobody came forward to help Jesus except for this young boy. So this great miracle involved sacrifice. The Apostle Paul, who was always willing to sacrifice, he said to the church, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." When I was growing up in my home church in Brazil, Brother Jimmy Rose, my pastor, decided to buy a lot that was in front of our church on the other side of the street. And he was dreaming about the day that he could build a Christian school on that lot. So he called the church and asked everybody to sacrifice. And we all sacrificed. I was a little boy, but I already had a full-time job back then. And I sacrificed. But I noticed a couple in our church. They had put money in the savings throughout the years. And that money was going to be used to send their boy to college one day. Then the husband decided to take all the money out of the savings and give to the church so the church could buy that piece of lot. Now the wife, she was reluctant. That money was for her boy. But she decided to follow her husband's decision by faith. Well, some years later, the boy went to college. He finished college. He went back home. God supplied the needs of that couple. And better than that, the lot was bought, the school was built, and now hundreds and hundreds of kids are being saved through that ministry. So God is willing to really bless us. He's willing to increase the ministry. But sometimes that means sacrifice, time, talents, and money. Because the work of God is done with our collaboration and sacrifice. I have come to the conclusion that the work of God is not the work of a man, but it is the work of a people. Nobody can do the work of God alone. Nobody can do the work of God by himself or by herself. We need help. We need cooperation, collaboration. And this is what missions is all about. When we get together to accomplish the work of God is accomplished. The boy was also willing to help immediately. As soon as Jesus asked the question, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Andrew answered him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes." Probably the young boy heard the question, stood up and shouted, "I can help! I can help!" And I'm not surprised at his shout, at his cry, but I'm surprised at the silence of the disciples and the multitude. Everybody was waiting for somebody else to solve that problem. We are like that. But the young man said, "I can help." A few years ago, when we decided to build the 4th church, I called the mother church in Goiânia, in the Midwest of Brazil, and I said, "Look, we need to do our part. I cannot write to my churches in the States and ask for their help if we are not doing our part. So let's see what we can do first." So we got together and we raised some funds for the 4th church. But this man, a lawyer in our church, he's no longer in our church, but he came to me and he said, "Pastor Rom, I'm not going to help now. I'm going to wait until the very end to see if you still need my help." But God blessed us in a very special way with the funds from Brazil, from the States. And as far as I know, to this day, that man never helped with the 4th church or with any other church because he's always waiting for somebody else to help in his place. Just before coming to the States, like 2 months ago, a person, a man in my church, came to me and said, "Pastor Rom, if you had not come to Goiânia, my family and I would have never been saved." I mean, it is strong to hear that from someone. But you know what I replied? I said, "If I had not come to Goiânia, God could have sent somebody else. And I would have lost my prize and my reward. So praise God that I came. Praise God that I was not disobedient to his call. But I believe God is not going to be without a substitute. God's not going to be without a missionary. God's not going to be without a worker. If I don't want to do the work, somebody else will. God is going to find somebody else." That boy was so eager to help that he stood up before anybody else. He wanted to be the first to give Jesus a hand. Once for all, let us understand that miracles of God require our compassion for souls, our confidence in his power, and our cooperation together. Last of all, it is necessary to have coordination. It is amazing to see what Jesus told his disciples to do when he was ready to feed the people. In verse 19, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. So Jesus and the disciples were very organized as they did the work of God. Folks, the work of God cannot be done by coincidence. The work of God is done when we are organized and when we plan things ahead. I don't know if this happens here in the States, but in Brazil sometimes, people that we don't know, they show up in the services, they come to the platform, and they tell me, Pastor, God the Holy Spirit has told me to come here today and give my testimony to your people. Or, God the Holy Spirit told me to come here today and sing a special to the church. And I have to answer them, I'm sorry, but God the Holy Spirit forgot to tell me about you. We don't do things like that here. I don't know the person. I don't know his doctrines. I don't know where he's coming from. So the work of God doesn't happen by coincidence. We pray, we plan, we work, and then things happen. Jesus made the people sit down in rows before receiving their portions. Everybody had more than enough to eat, and there was no waste. So the Apostle Paul tells the church, let all things be done decently and in order. In 19 years of ministry, I have learned that God is a God of miracles. Nobody could imagine, I could not imagine, when I was growing up in my church, that God would allow me to establish 4 Bible-believing churches. And the 5th one is well underway. I mean, I couldn't tell. I just knew that God was going to use me. But the truth of the matter is that we need to have compassion. We need to learn to love people. This is important. Then we need to have confidence in God's power. We pray, we work as if everything depends on us, but we pray knowing that everything depends on God. And then we need to have cooperation. I believe with all my heart that missions is the mission of the church, because nobody can do the work of God alone. That's why missions is so important. And coordination. We need to be organized when we want to do the work of God. Now I'm finishing, but before, I want just to remind you of this story. Do you remember the 4 friends who took a man who could not walk to see Jesus? Remember that story? They had compassion. They saw their friend in need, in pain. He could not walk. He could not see Jesus. So first of all, they felt compassion. That's why they desired to help him. Without compassion, we'll have no desire to do anything for God or for other people. Then they had confidence. If we brought this man to the feet of Jesus, Jesus will do something about his situation. Jesus will do something about his problem. That's confidence in Jesus. Then they coordinated together, and the Bible says that they made a hole in the ceiling. That's coordination, isn't it? So they brought that man safely down to the feet of Jesus. They were very organized. They cooperated together. The Bible doesn't say anything about it, but I believe they had to pay for that ceiling. They destroyed the ceiling. They had to come back later and fix it. But once the man was before Jesus, he was completely healed. Not because of his faith, but because of the compassion and faith of his 4 friends. Can you imagine if Jesus gave us 4 people like that in every church? in every ministry. That's what we need, to see more miracles happening in our family, in our church, and in the lives of our missionaries. Miracles can happen. It depends on us more than it depends on God. Let's pray. Pastor.
Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. When they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I was sitting there as this dear man of God is preaching, and I was thinking to myself, I feel like I'm sitting in a mission seminar. What a mighty message this is. What a true message this is. May I say that what works on the mission field works in America. We need compassion here. Our confidence in God, not self. Cooperating together. Coordinating the work of God so it's organized in a way that pleases God. Every ministry of the local church functions the same way. This is a great message that the Lord is using in my own life, and I appreciate it. Maybe God's dealing with you. As they play through something, I'm going to ask Brother Gary to begin to sing. We're not going to stand tonight. I just want you to remain seated. But as Brother Gary sings, if God is speaking to your heart and you want to come talk to him, come now. Would you do that? As he sings, you come now. Would you do
have
it?
Thine own way, Lord.
Have
thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Hold me and make me after thy will. I am waiting, yielded and
asleep. They're playing through softly. You can look this way. I want to give you a few reminders, and we're going to end the service in a unique way tonight. The Lord laid this on my heart, and we'll end it this way in just a moment. Remind all the teenagers and parents who are planning to go to England that you have a meeting right after church if you'll go downstairs. Any adults that are have an interest in discipling new converts, if you will meet with me immediately after church, we'll meet over here to my left, right over here on the organ side. You couples, you married couples that plan to come, sign up out there on the bulletin board. Take some of those flyers for our big day coming up. All these things, it's out there. If you're planning on looking into adopting one of these international students, if you'll take one of those brochures, or see Brother Morrison. But you know, I was thinking as he was preaching, I began to think about all the missionaries who are here tonight. Brother Rahm's here and his wife and two girls. Brother Abbott, Brother Levi's here. I think I saw Levi, didn't I? Where's Levi? Brother Levi's here. Nathan's here. Brother Paul Pritchard's here. I like being around missionaries. I've been saturating myself with our mission program this week. I've spent hours and hours with potential new missionaries that we're going to be bringing on. I mean, hours this week in that. And it's on our heart. And I'd like to ask all these missionaries and your wives, and if you have children with you, I want you to gather around the altar here. All of you missionaries, Miss Rivera, your two daughters, Brother Abbott, your wife, Brother Nathan, your family, Levi, Brittany, Brother Paul Pritchard. I see our preacher back there. God bless you, sir. He's been preaching all day today, raring back and preaching it out in Church Hill or something. Preacher, I'm going to gather all of them around the altar. This is a precious time. I want them all to gather around the altar. And preacher, I want to ask you if you wouldn't mind to make your way up here, and I'm going to have you pray for them. I'd like them just to, whenever preacher lastly gets here, I'd like all of you just to kind of close around him. Just make a little circle there if you can. Let him right in the middle of you. This will be our closing prayer. And then I'd like all these missionaries, whenever preacher dismisses them in prayer, I'd like you to remain right there just a moment. I want them all to go out in the lobby because I want you to be able to greet them on your way out tonight, okay? So, preacher, if you'll just pray for them, ask God to touch them, and ask God to be with this fifth church that Brother Rahm's trying to establish in all of this. And I think this is a very fitting way to in this service. As soon as he says amen, if all of you will make your way out to the lobby, and then you can be dismissed unless you're coming to one of these meetings. You go right ahead, sir.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this privilege of being able to come in your presence this evening. Lord, we thank you over and over that you're a God who hears and answers prayer. Thank you, your ear is open to the cry of the righteous. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Rahm and the miraculous way you've used him. Lord, down in the country of Brazil, I've been there, I've seen it, you've worked. Great churches have been established through the ministry of this man. We thank you for it. And now, Lord, here's a great host of missionaries, Lord, that have surrendered their lives to be used of the Lord around the world. And God, I pray that you'd breathe upon them. You've already have, but I ask you tonight again to anoint them anew and afresh with the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, we can't make it without your help. We'll be sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. And God, just use each of these, I pray, in the future, around the world, to win people to Christ and get the bride ready for the coming of the bridegroom around the world. And Lord, just continue to bless this church and its outreach around the world for missions. We know that your blessing will be upon us as long as we keep this outreach. And Lord, keep us true to you, and true to the Word of God and the God of the Word. And now, Lord, dismiss us with thy blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You stay right there just a moment. All these missionaries, if you'll make your way out to the lobby, as soon as they get back there, you are dismissed, okay? Let these missionaries make their way out first.